So I'm not sure if you remember the story, but back in 2010, there were millions of people who sat on the edge of their seat as 33 Chilean miners were rescued from a collapsed mine. And I happened to be watching the story, just following each of the different pieces as it was unfolding on the internet. And I remember the storyline, the titles that would come up on the news feed, it would change like every 30 minutes. It would have one moment where it would say something like, fourth miner has now been rescued. 30 minutes later, fifth miner reaches the surface. 30 minutes later, sixth miner is reunited with his family. And the more I listened, the more amazed I was with the amount of planning that went into the actual rescue efforts. Each of the different guys was loaded in a capsule for a 2,000-foot, 15-minute journey back to the surface. Along the way, the individual was closely monitored. They wore an oxygen mask. They also had their heartbeat as well as their body temperature being monitored. They were able to be able to talk to the rescue team through a microphone. They were being watched by video the entire way. They did everything they could in order to ensure the safety of the miners as they were coming back to the surface. But I also noticed something else that just kind of grabbed my attention. As each of these Chilean miners was breaking the surface, is coming back up, they all had on a pair of Oakley sunglasses. And that just grabbed my attention. I was thinking to myself, that is a very odd thing that every single one of these people would own a pair of Oakley sunglasses. So I did a little bit of research and I found out that a couple of weeks prior to the actual rescue itself, because it took several weeks to get all the plan in place, there was a journalist who contacted Oakley and said, we think it would be a really great opportunity for your company to donate some glasses for the rescue effort. So whether or not Oakley did it out of the goodness of their heart or for some other ulterior motive, I'm not quite sure, but Oakley donated 35 pair of $450 sunglasses for all of these miners who were coming back to the surface. So as each miner came to the surface, their eyes were protected from the light. Their reputation for fashion was also intact. So it was a win-win for everybody involved. Now, according to a doctor who was overseeing the entire rescue efforts, he said if the miners had surfaced without some form of protective eyewear, it would have been so painful for them that they would not have been able to do the medical procedures that they needed to have done at that time. And if you've ever walked out of maybe a dimly lit movie theater and you step out into the light and all of a sudden you're having to shield your eyes because it's so uncomfortable, imagine being underground away from light for almost 70 days. And then stepping out into the light. The light was so uncomfortable for these guys that even though they were wearing their sunglasses, those who were handling their medical needs did most of that care in the dark in order to protect their eyes. And here's the point behind all of that. After being in darkness, light is uncomfortable. So as we continue tonight in our Ephesians study, the Apostle Paul challenges believers to walk as children of light. Scripture tells us that whenever we entered relationship with God through Jesus Christ, at that moment we moved from darkness into light. We underwent a change at every level of who we are. Our nature changed, our identity changed, our mind changed, our behaviors changed. But after spending years in darkness, light is uncomfortable. It takes time to adjust to the light. So believers, they face this constant tension between embracing the light and also retreating back into darkness. The darkness feels easier and it's familiar, but it's no longer who we are. The light, it feels difficult and uncomfortable because we've spent so much time in darkness. The issue that we have to challenge ourselves with is we continue to press forward in the light. That all leads into our big truth for this evening. After walking in darkness, light is uncomfortable. After walking in light, darkness is unacceptable. Yes, the light will make us squirm. Yes, the light will force us to deal with things we would rather not even have to look at. But give it some time. The longer we walk in the light, the easier it becomes, and the blessings far outweigh any type of temporary discomfort. So with that idea in mind, I invite you to go with me in your Bibles again, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, we are in verses 6 through 14 tonight. The topic of the message is adjusting to the light. As we read the text, you're going to notice multiple references to light and darkness all the way through this section. So let's begin in verse number 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we engage your word tonight, would you give us incredible clarity? Allow our minds to be focused on what the word is saying to each of us. Lord, we know that there is one interpretation, many applications. Would you allow the word to sink in tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get into the specifics of the text, I want you to remember a piece that I've shared multiple times in this series. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians are about correct belief. The next three chapters are about correct behavior. And when it comes to correct behavior, we find that the Apostle Paul, in these three chapters, he is going to address our behavior in our personal life, in our thought life, in our work life, in our relationships, our marriage, our families, even our behavior when we are under spiritual attack. The entire section is addressing our behavior. And in each of these, we are to adjust because we are children of light. There's five times in these nine verses that the Apostle Paul refers to light. The key phrase is found in verse number 8. It says, walk as children of light. Now, this is the fourth walk statement that we've encountered in our study of the book of Ephesians. If we have been already called to walk in a worthy manner, chapter 4, verse 1, to stop walking as the world walks, chapter 4, verse 17, to walk in love, chapter 5, verse 2, and now walk as children of light in chapter 5, verse 8. And remember, our walk, it defines our repetitive behavior. It's how we live from day to day. He's saying, this is how you're to walk, and this is how you are not to walk. This is what your life is to look like every day. This is not what your life is to look like every day. So in this section, it says that we are to walk as children of light. And for that to happen, we need to actually know what light is. So the Greek word for light, it means light. There's no subtle nuance here. There's no hidden meaning that is connected to it. It simply means light. But there's a number of ways that light is used figuratively in Scripture, and we do need to recognize those because that applies to this section. So it is used figuratively of Scripture and God's Word. One of those passages is Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's also a word that is used figuratively of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the same word is also used figuratively of Christians as well as their influence in culture. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 15, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men. So there's a number of smaller ways that the word light is used figuratively in Scripture, but those are the primary ones. And based upon our context, you can see the Apostle Paul is using all three of those ways in order to connect back to light. Verse 8 speaks of Christians and Jesus in connection with light. Verse 9 refers to Jesus alone in connection with light. Then verse 13 addresses God's word or scripture, again, in connection with light. So put those pieces together. For Christians to walk in the light, it means that we walk according to our new nature. We walk in relationship with Jesus. We walk by the truths of God's word. Now, this is just an observation. We can measure the state of our current relationship with God by our willingness to walk in the light. So if you want to find out, am I on the right path with God? Am I taking the right steps right now in my walk with God? I encourage you to ask these questions connected back to light. Am I walking in my new nature as a child of God? Am I walking with Jesus, honoring him in all that I do? Am I walking in accordance with God's word? The answers to those questions will help us know, are we on the right path? Are we diverging from that right path? If we're going to walk as children of light, we are to walk according to those three areas. So the Apostle Paul now gives five reasons why light is uncomfortable. And the first of those is light forces us to consider actions, not just words. This is found in verse number 6. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now, these things, it points back to what we just discussed this last week. We saw in verses 3 through 5 that little things matter and little things often point to bigger problems. He finished that section by saying that idolaters, those who place things before God, idolaters will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. And in the very next verse, he rolls in with this statement, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." If somebody says, "I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I love God," and yet they're constantly putting everything else before God, they're practicing idolatry, what he's saying there is, do not be deceived, do not be misled by empty words. Light will force us to consider actions, not just words. Now, that is a very uncomfortable piece when it comes to walking in the light. And a part of that is, we want to see the best in people. As children, we want to see the best in our parents. As parents, we want to see the best in our kids. As spouses, we want to see the best in our spouse. As friends, we want to see the best and believe the best when it comes to our friends. So whenever someone we know that's close to us says, "I'm a Christian, I love God," and yet their actions do not back it up, we don't want to be the person who comes out and says, "Really? Are you? Like, are things actually lining up?" Like, we don't want to be put in that situation. We want to think the best of someone else. But that also brings us to another common concern. Sometimes in our desire to give a word of encouragement and to give a pat on the back, sometimes we have to be careful that we are not giving assurance of salvation to someone who has no biblical grounds for that assurance. Sometimes we can be getting in the way of God bringing the conviction that is needed in that person's life to be right with him. Jesus taught that you will know people by their fruit, by their actions. And sometimes we don't want to inspect the fruit because we're scared to death of what we're going to find on the other side. It's uncomfortable. Here's the next piece. Light requires us to abandon certain behaviors. We find this in verse 7 as well as the first part of verse number 11. It says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Then it goes on to say in verse 11, "Do not participate in their unfruitful deeds of darkness." Light requires us to abandon certain behaviors and actions and habits. So I want to encourage you to play a really fun game. It's called How to Become the Most Unpopular Person at Work. I'll show you how you can do this. Just a couple of pointers. Try any of these out this next week and you'll be well on the way. Politely walk away in the middle of a coworker's dirty joke. Stand for truth when your boss wants to fudge the numbers in order to boost the performance reports. Graciously confront your coworker when they're lying on their expense report. Refuse to join your friends for the bachelor party when it's down at the strip club. Refuse to gossip and confront those who do. If you practice any or all of those, you will rapidly become one of the most unpopular people at work. You will notice that conversations will end when you walk in the room. They'll be talking at a normal level, and all of a sudden it goes to a whispered tone off to the side. You will notice that your information, your contact info, is conveniently left off when the parties are happening and when the invites are going out. You will notice that as the other group is talking about things, they don't invite you in. A part of that is because as children of light, we are not to participate in certain things. And when you don't participate in certain things, when you don't encourage those things, when you're not okay with those things, people take note of that and they don't include you in those things, which is not a bad thing. But it's also uncomfortable in the moment. Now, I also want to be very careful here to say abandoning behavior does not mean becoming an adult hall monitor. It does not mean we are to judge everyone and we're to challenge everything and we are to make verbal jabs in order to get a spiritual point across. And here's what something like that would look like. A coworker says, man, that cup of coffee is hot. And your first thought is, if you think that's hot, hell's gonna be hotter. That is not okay. All right, those are things that get under people's skin. Those are things that give Christians a bad name. Those are things that cause us to lose any type of godly respect and influence in the workplace and with those who are around us. There is a difference between not participating in darkness and judging people who are still in darkness. Remember, a lost person is going to act like a lost person. A saved person, though, should act like a saved person. Here's the next piece. Light calls us to live by a higher standard. Found in verses 9 and 10. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, Paul gives three different markers, three parts of a standard for what light is. It's all goodness, it's righteousness, it's truth. When you're walking in the light, those three markers are going to be a part of your life. So goodness, it speaks of moral excellence. It finds its fullest expression in what is sacrificially done for others. Righteousness connects back to our relationship with God as well as the effect of that relationship. We were made righteous and we are commanded to walk righteously, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And truth deals with a person's honesty, their trustworthiness, as well as their integrity. So it stands in contrast to that individual who is being hypocritical or the person who is being deceptive. Now the text says, in all these things, we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, that is not saying that we are trying to learn these things so that we can be in relationship with God. We understand that we are not in relationship with God because of any part of our own merit, but it is saying that we are to try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And to get that, we need to go back to how this chapter started. We were commanded at the very beginning of chapter 5 to imitate God and to walk in love, verses 1 and 2. But then it gave the standard off to the side for what that was. He said, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Jesus is the standard. That is a high standard. That is the highest possible standard that is out there. Some of the uncomfortable situations we will find ourselves in is when God is calling us to represent him well. And the standard that he's calling us to live is higher than the standard, moral standard, of those that are around us. Having high moral standards is a good thing. But having high moral standards does not mean looking down our nose upon others. God has pulled us from darkness and placed us into light. And according to verse 13, all things become visible when they've been exposed to the light. Did you all know that there are convictions and beliefs and concerns we have today as followers of Christ that we did not have prior to knowing Jesus? It was a part of what light did for us. When we saw the word, when we came into relationship with God, there's a clarity that comes into that, into our hearts and our minds. There is a higher standard that comes because of being a child of God. But that still doesn't mean it's any less uncomfortable to be in a situation, a relational encounter, where the standard God's calling us to is higher than the standard of those around us. Here's the next one. Light compels us to expose darkness to others. This is second part of verse number 11 and all the way through verse number 12. It says, "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak the things which are done by them in secret." Christian responsibility, it goes beyond not participating in evil deeds, and it actually moves to exposing those evil deeds. Light brings responsibility. Back in 2010, myself and Bria both had corrective eye surgery about 2 weeks apart. And so when we went and did the procedure, one of the things that happened is the doctor doing the procedure said, "You need to keep your eyes closed for a couple of hours after the procedure." And that wasn't a problem. We didn't want to open up our eyes anyway. It was very uncomfortable to open our eyes right after that procedure. But when your eyes are closed, you need somebody to help you to get from point A to point B. That's the reason we did this like 2 weeks apart. So like Bria went first on this, and as we walked out, she grabbed onto my arm, and we were walking. Her eyes were closed. Her head was down. And I would get to a certain point, and I'd say, "All right, Bria, we need to stop here. We're about to step down from a curb. All right, here's the step," and we'd step down together. Then we'd go a little bit further into the parking lot. I'd say, "All right, we need to stop for just a moment. A car's coming." Then we get over to the car, and I was like, "Okay, Bria, you need to bend down, put your head down for just a moment as you duck and get into the car." All along the way, I was simply giving simple instructions because the person with sight needs to encourage and protect the person who does not have sight. 2 weeks later, she did the same thing for me. And praise God, she didn't lead me into a wall or anything. So this was fantastic. Okay, here's my point. A person with sight is responsible for helping the person without sight. As a Christian, we are responsible for helping those who cannot see at this point. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." God has given us both sight as well as light because of the gospel message. And as a result of that, Christians are going to see pitfalls, we're going to see pain, we are going to see problems that are going to lead to issues in another person's life. And it is the responsibility of those who have spiritual sight to help provide insight and encouragement for those who cannot see. Paul says in the text, "Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Exposing darkness is uncomfortable. Calling out sin is uncomfortable. Needing to challenge people when they're going down the wrong path, it is uncomfortable. Sometimes you will feel like you're being judgmental. Sometimes it's going to feel like you're meddling in somebody else's life. Sometimes it's going to feel like you're pushing religion or Christianity upon that individual. All of those things feel uncomfortable. But when our heart's desire is, "God, help me to love people well. May I represent you well in this moment." When a person in that frame of mind is saying, "I need to caution you about the path that you're on," there can be graciousness. There can be humility in that. That is loving someone well. That's not just backing up and saying, "I'm okay if you run into a freight train right now." That is loving a person well to come in to say, "I need to warn you about what the Bible says is on the other end of the path that you're currently on." It's uncomfortable. That's a part of walking as children of light. Here's the next part. Light makes us see things we don't want to see. It's been said many times, ignorance is bliss. But once you see truth, you cannot unsee truth. Verse 13, it says, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light." The more you and I walk in the light, we walk in relationship with God, the more he will expose darkness inside us, the areas of our hearts that are not in alignment with him, the more he will expose darkness that's around us. Light illumines darkness. Over the years, I have counseled with many people who would tell me, I don't like it when things get quiet, because when it gets quiet, God begins to speak and to convict me of things in my life. Do you know what that person is saying? God uses the light to expose problems in their life. Every time somebody tells me that, I'm like, that is one of the best places you can possibly be in. You want God to expose the things in your life that are going to bring pain to your future. You want God and that convicting voice to keep speaking in. When his voice becomes softer and softer to the point you cannot hear it, that's concerning. But when it is clear and he is bringing you under conviction and he's pointing out areas of sin, that is a blessing from God, because he is pointing out issues that are going to lead to pain and problems in your life. Praise God for the uncomfortable nature of light. Today's discomfort will be tomorrow's joy. So now go back to our big truth for just a moment. After walking in darkness, light is uncomfortable. After walking in light, darkness is unacceptable. Why would we say darkness is unacceptable? There's two reasons we find in the text. Here's the first. Who you were is no longer who you are. This is found in verse number 8. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." By the way, no one is happy when they're trying to be someone they're not. There's freedom, there's joy in being exactly who God made you to be. And the Apostle Paul does not say you were in darkness and now you are in light. He says before you were darkness and now you are light. And this is huge. He is reminding believers that there has been an irreversible change that has happened within our nature. When you entered a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he didn't just pull you out of darkness and change your surroundings. He pulled you from darkness and he changed your nature itself. We not only lived in darkness, darkness lived in us. Darkness describes that sin nature that we were born into. That sin nature is the reason why you don't have to teach a child to sin and to be selfish and to disobey. It comes naturally. It's a part of the sin nature that we have been born into. But when we entered relationship with God, darkness was not removed from all around us. We still live in a sinful, broken, messed up world. However, it was removed from within us. He removed that sin nature. This does not mean that a Christian will still not sin. What it does mean is when a Christian sins, it's no longer predetermined by that sin nature. It is a person who is aligning with the flesh, the remnants of that former sin nature. They are choosing in that moment in order to walk forward in sin. They've been freed from the power of sin, but they're walking forward in it. Here's the next reason darkness is no longer acceptable. Because we are to share light with others, based on verse 14. It is believed that this verse was used in the early church as an invitation for people to come to Jesus. I want you to listen carefully to this beautiful call. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Are you struggling for security in your walk? Are you wrestling with your identity before God? Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Do you sense God calling you to himself? Are you tired of your best never being good enough? Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Are you tired of not living up to your God-given potential? Are you desperate in order to be right with God? Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. God calls us to himself. We were created for a relationship. Sin separated the relationship. Jesus makes it possible for the relationship to be restored. It doesn't matter what you've done. It does not matter how long you've done it. It does not matter the reasons for your rebellion. When the message of Christ makes sense to you, when you want what Jesus is offering, when you are willing to repent of your sin by placing faith in Christ, Jesus saves. And he saves. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. If you do not know Jesus in that way, I encourage you tonight, come talk to me right after the service. Talk to one of our other pastors right after the service. If you're a believer, but you're struggling, you're wrestling with that tension of going back into the darkness because it's just more comfortable, it's more familiar, I want you to listen again to verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Be who God made you to be. You will never be comfortable being someone you are not. But I'll tell you, when he has transformed your character, your mind, your heart, it takes a while to adjust to walking in the light. But it's always worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouragement for each of us to continue to walk forward in the light. We ask, God, that we would live the truths that you are sharing in Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night.